to item 23. Mr. Briggs.
This is basically a status report on the non-point source control policy, which has changed in the state. And Larry Harlan is going to be really brief, huh?
Yes, I can not.
Microphone. Push the button there.
I'm sorry, yes. I do have a presentation, but we can forego that in the interest of saving time. And I can just entertain or answer questions if you have those. Those are the options, or something in between.
Why don't you give us the one-paragraph summary?
There's a recent non-point source policy that was, it's a year old. It changes the way in which we will oversee non-point source pollution. The policy now mandates that waste discharge requirements, waivers, or prohibitions be used to control non-point source. We are piloting the use of conditional prohibitions at this time. As an example, we have submitted out for public note, we publicly noticed and have out for public comment now, total maximum daily load project that is utilizing a non-point source policy. We are using a prohibition approach in that, and we are piloting a non-point source policy in that fashion now. I don't know how brief or how detailed I should go with these.
So the former non-point source policy had the three-tier approach.
Yes, sir.
Where you had, they called it voluntary one time, and they changed that. Then the second level was increased nudging. Got a different name for it.
Right.
And then the third was a more formal regulatory approach, enforcement.
Correct.
And so that's basically been replaced.
Correct.
With the change in the state board policy. So we thought this was a kind of an important change in the way that we're dealing with on-point sources.
Correct.
And one of the examples, I guess, would be in the Pajaro as far as grazing, for example.
Correct, yes. We have proposed piloting implementation of the non-point source policy for TMDL-related projects because with those projects comes a greater amount of information and detail of these non-point sources. A good result is what we're piloting now with the total maximum daily. It's planned to be heard in the December 2nd board meeting. In addition, we have Catherine Dominey from the State Board coming to our office and next month. She will be going into greater detail on the non-point source. There are, I might point out, a few examples of its implementation to rely upon at this time to see how to best utilize the policy in our programs. The one thing I think that is important to note with this new policy is that with the mandated requirements for WDRs and waivers or prohibitions as an approach to control non-point source, there will be additional staff resources that will be necessary to manage the program. As part of the non-point source policy, the dischargers that are identified will be required to provide us with non-point source implementation programs. Those programs are to be evaluated, approved, and tracked over the course of of its implementation to assure that water quality objectives are being met. We are not certain to what extent resources need to be utilized to manage this new non-point source policy, but we will, I would imagine, within a year or two.
Any questions?
Mr. Shallcross.
Yeah. Non-point source dischargers, is that generally the jurisdictions or the, you know, stormwater phase two people? Or
no.
Who are we talking about here? Oh, this
could be grazing. for example.
Okay, so it's more specific than stormwater.
Various non-point source land uses, okay, grazing, okay. Agriculture, but agriculture is essentially already covered through the waiver.
Right, okay. So these would be people who aren't covered through waivers?
Yeah. Correct, yeah.
Okay. And what kind of staffing needs are we looking at?
Well, to approach it the same way that we did the waiver, we saw as just prohibitive from a staffing point of view, focusing on one singular land use, grazing. The natural response after having gone through the ag waiver development would be to, or the expectation was, are you going to do a parallel waiver for grazing? That, I think, Chairman Young referenced the time span with which it took to develop that. We just don't have the resources to do a repeat performance on that. So, as Larry mentioned, we're going to look at it from a problem basis. Those watersheds that present problems will be the ones that will be addressed.
So what kind of staffing are you looking at? Or do you know yet?
Don't know yet, okay. Realistically. Much of this will be addressed initially through the TMDL staff, is what I envision.
Oh, okay. So are you guys either the end of the TMDL or just relating to it or connected to it?
Currently, TMDL implementation plans are and programs are overseen by the Watershed Assessment Unit, the TMDL unit.
Does the TMDL then inform your unit as to where you need to go and what you need to do? Is that how it works?
Potentially, yes. We would be the implementing arm for the non-point source-related discharges considered under a TMDL developed for a watershed.
Good, because yeah. That's always been my problem with understanding the TMDL program.
Is what happens after you write it?
How do you enforce it? What do you do? So you guys sound like
the guys. Well, I think the way we visualize it, at least some of us in the watershed branch, is that all the programs are the implementing arms. You know, all of the regional boards programs are the implementing arms of the TMDLs.
Uh-huh. Okay. Good.
Okay. Any board questions? All right. Thank you very much. We'll move on to agenda.